February 23rd, 2020, the Transfiguration of our Lord. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning on this, the Transfiguration of our Lord. My name is Karen Lorenz Dowdle, and I will be leading you this morning as we worship and sing praise to our God. We hope you feel as if you are here with us in person, and we certainly hope you are blessed as you hear the good news of God's love for you. Our order of worship is a special worship service entitled Eyewitnesses of Our Majesty, a service for Transfiguration Sunday, published by Creative Communications. Please join us now as we sing our opening hymn, Beautiful Savior, hymn number 507 in Lutheran worship.
Please stand. Good morning. The Lord be with you. Blessings and greetings to you. In the name of Jesus, it's good to be with you all this morning for worship. It is the Transfiguration Sunday, so that is the last Sunday in the Epiphany season, which means as of this coming week, we move into the Lent season now. The story of Transfiguration will become very, very clear and apparent to you once we read it in just a little while. We'll begin now with the opening sentences as they are in your worship bulletin. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds and I will declare your greatness. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer, for you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, on the mountain of transfiguration, you allowed your disciples to see you revealed in heavenly glory. After you rose from the dead, the disciples told the story of what they had seen on that holy mountain. In your word and in your holy supper, we have come to know your glory, and we worship you as King of kings and Lord of lords. Help us by your Spirit to be witnesses for you, so that others will come to know and worship you as Lord. Mighty Savior, we look forward to the last day when you will be revealed in glory and we too will see you face to face. Hear our prayers and accept our praise this day. Amen.
Join us now as we sing our family hymn, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. The lector this morning is Sue Bloom. May God open our hearts to receive the word he speaks to us through Sue.
The first reading is taken from Exodus chapter 33, verses 17 through 23. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, Now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Second reading is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we were told, when told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Having heard God's word, we confess our faith together now in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please have a seat.
Please join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, "Christ Whose Glory Fills the Skies," hymn number 480 in Lutheran Worship.
Christ whose glory fills the skies, Christ the true and only light, Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night, they spring from on high be near, they star in my heart appear. Dark and cheerless is the morn, unaccompanied by thee. Joyless is the day's return, till thy mercy's beams I see, till they inward light impart, glad my eyes and warm my heart. Visit then this soul of mine, pierce the gloom of sin and grief. Fill me, radiancy divine, scatter all my unbelief. More and more thyself display, shining to the perfect day.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that I chose for the sermon this morning is the gospel reading that Sue read for us just a few moments ago. How many of you are familiar with the movie, The Bucket List? Anybody see that movie? All right, so some of you are familiar with it, some maybe not. So what I'll attempt to do is just kind of give you a little idea of what the movie was about. For those of you who did see it, if you remember, it was Morgan Freeman is in the movie and also Jack Nicholson. Now, both of these guys are diagnosed with, if I remember, both of them were diagnosed with terminal illnesses, and they end up as roommates together in the hospital. Well, when they're there, they start to build a bond. They become friends. Well, one day, when considering his life, Morgan Freeman begins to write down his bucket list. Right? The things that he would love, or the things that he wished to accomplish, places he wished to go before he died. Well, after learning that he only had about a year to live, he just kind of forgot about it, gave up on that bucket list. That is, until the character who was played by Jack Nicholson encouraged him otherwise. He encouraged him to pursue it. So it was, together, they experienced all kinds of things. They went to all different kinds of places, traveled all across the globe. They experienced what I guess for them would have been peak experiences. Yet they knew what was still to come. And in time, they would have to return to that reality. They would have to come down from those peak experiences, but they were changed, weren't they? They would come down differently. They were rejuvenated, sort of life-filled. I want you to think about your life for a minute. I want you to think about the peak experiences that you have been blessed to have. What are the mountaintop experiences for you? And I don't necessarily want you to shout them out at me. I want you to think about it, though. Those places that have just kind of taken you away. Places that have filled you with joy, or not even necessarily places, but it could be experiences too, can't it? What are those things for you? I suppose as your mind is wandering to the different places or experiences, you know, and I couldn't help but to think this week about a missing head elder who was in, where'd they go, Granada or something like that, right? So you know everything about everybody now because of social media. Right? I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. But we make it that way because we post everything up, right? So anyway, I'm sitting the other night, I think it was Thursday after I left here, and I'm scrolling through Facebook, and there's Wendy's picture comes up, right, of this beautiful scene. Rod and Wendy, and I think it's Wendy's sister, they went down together, right? And they're in this water. I think it was a pool, I don't know. Crystal clear, bluish. You can just feel the warmth coming through the screen. My mind wanders, and I go, oh, man. Must have been a mountaintop experience for them. But come down from the mountain they must. And back to Buffalo they are. I think they returned yesterday, or they're on their way back. I'm not sure. But anyway, we know those mountaintop experiences. And man, oh man, as we think about our lives, as we think about the experiences that have filled us with joy, how good it would be to be stuck there, to just remain in those moments if we could. And I think that's kind of what we see in the gospel for today. It's Peter, James, and John. They head up on this mountain with Jesus, right? And it's literally a mountaintop experience for them. What a peak moment that must have been for them in their lives and in their journey with Jesus. What a remarkable encounter it must have been with God. If you remember, as Sue just reminded us, and by the way, this comes up the same way every year, doesn't it? If you remember, they went up on that mountaintop, and right before their eyes, Jesus transfigured. He changed. They saw and got a glimpse of him in all of his glory. And now, if that wasn't enough, standing right next to them, right next to Jesus, was who? Moses and Elijah. Now, I'm not a sports guy, so I can't tell you, I can't even give you names of people that would be remarkable to have next to you. I don't know. It could be a top NFL guy sitting right next to me, and I wouldn't know. You know, just imagine for a minute somebody that just has that kind of status, that star status, right? I don't know, maybe it's like for me sitting next to Billy Graham or something like that. But anyway, that must have been what it was like for Peter, James, and John. There, right in their presence, were two of the greats, Moses and Elijah. And it's not coincidental, by the way, that it was those two guys, right? Did you ever consider why Moses and Elijah? What did Moses represent? Would you say, Ed? The law, right? So Moses goes up on a mountain. He receives the time. He stands and really kind of represents the law. And what about Elijah? Prophets. And he was one of the greats, wasn't he? He was the great prophet. Now, from the understanding of the Old Testament people, when they looked at the scriptures, they understood the scriptures really to be in two parts, the law and the prophets. And then there was that wisdom literature and poetry type stuff like the Psalms and Proverbs and but the big part of the scripture, how they understood it, was the law and the prophets. And now Jesus stands in between the two of them. And what does that communicate? He's the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Everything that had been foretold, everything that God requires is right here. In my Son, the Beloved. Amazing experience. It's no wonder then that Peter, being the voice box that he always is, says, oh, Lord, it's good that we're here. Let's stay.
Let's stay. I'll tell you what. I'll build a tent and we'll stay here forever. And what does Jesus say? Mm-mm. Come down from the mountain, we must. We have to journey down the mountain now. But you've had this experience. And you're changed. You've seen my glory. And that's going to prepare you for what is to come. And what was to come? What was to come? They would journey down that mountain. Journey down that mountain, and they would experience the cross. They would experience suffering. They would endure the hardship right there alongside of Jesus. Come down from the mountain, they would, from that peak, to experience betrayal, arrest, rejection. But as they experienced all that, they were changed. They were strengthened. They had confidence and hope. You know, as I thought about this transfiguration experience, as I thought about the disciples going up on that mountaintop and having to come back down, I suppose each week for you and me, as we gather here in this place, it's a mountaintop experience for you and for me. When you think about this day, this the Lord's day, it really is the high point of our week, isn't it? No question about it. It's in this place that you and I are taken away from it all. It's this place that's part, it's different than maybe what is the routine day after day, week after week. And how, like Peter, we can't help but to say, how good, Lord, it is to be right here. And it never gets old. It's here in this place that you and I have a most remarkable encounter with our Jesus, too. We touch his glory as he comes to us in his word and his sacraments. We're given a foretaste of the feast that's to come as we gather around his table. It's here in this place that you and me have an encounter with the crucified and risen Savior who died for us and rose for you and me, making us whiter than snow. Cleansed and forgiven we are, no matter what sin is before him as we lay it at the foot of the cross. Clean. And it's here in this place that you and I are able to interact with and worship and serve with some of the greats. And I'm not talking about Moses and Elijah, but I'm talking about Kim and Tony. I'm talking about Laura and Dave and Kyle. And Tom and Sue and Paul. It's here in this place that we get to interact with some of the greats because we are the body of Christ, a people who are filled with the Spirit. How good, Lord, it is to be here. But come down from the mountain, we must too. Come down from the mountain, we have to. From this experience in this place, week after week, we have to come down, and it's from here that we make our way into the valley. But as we move to the valley, man, we are strengthened, we are changed. We're changed by this, our Jesus, who tells us, hey, the valley might not be easy, but I've gone ahead of you and I am with you.
And as you move through that valley, I will be your strength to see you through. Come down from that mountain, we must. But as we do, we have our faith. Not just any faith, but a faith in this crucified and risen one, Jesus, the King of glory. The one who has overcome the world for you and for me. And because he has, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow, we can with such confidence say, I fear no evil, because you are with me. Come down from that mountain, we must. But as we do, boy, we are hopeful. Hopeful because the valley... The valley isn't the end of the story, right? The valley, living out there, that's not it. Guess what? Sunday comes again. And we get to have that mountaintop experience over and over and over again every Saturday, every Sunday when we come into this place. How we're united to him, how we're united to one another. As we come into this place again, we learn, we grow, we share, we love, we support one another. And, of course, in the bigger picture, the valley isn't the end for sure. Because there's something greater that awaits all of us one day. The culmination of our faith and our hope. A place with him in glory forever and ever. A true and forever mountaintop experience then. No more suffering, no more pain, no more hardship, just joy and Jesus face to face in all of his glory. And then, just then, we can say, how good, Lord, it is to be here. And guess what? We get to stay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
This is your Hour with God, broadcast on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church, Depew, New York, at exactly 1300 on your AM radio dial station WXRL. The congregation's offerings are now being gathered by the ushers. This morning's radio broadcast is sponsored by the people of St. John's in memory of our loved ones. Also, the flowers on our altar are given by Dawn Varga and Ray Monahan for all the blessings they have received.
Cast me not away from thy presence,
and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
In addition to those who are printed in the prayers in your worship bulletin, please say a special word of prayer for my cousin Jason. Jason is about 15 years younger than me. When they were younger, they were here. But Jason was born with a pretty significant cardiac problem and had some surgery to resolve that cardiac issue when he was a baby. Unfortunately, later in life, there are complications that can come from that surgery, and he's experiencing it pretty significantly. So he's up at Strong Memorial Hospital right now with multiple organ malfunction, his liver, his kidneys, he's got pancreatitis and some internal bleeding going on. So he's a very, very sick young man. So if you would please keep my cousin Jason in your prayers. I want to say he's 28, but if you could pray for him, pray for Mom Jody and my Uncle Eric and the rest of the family. For Fred Haas, that's Rick Maybeck's father-in-law. He's been hospitalized, experiencing some weakness, continues to be hospitalized, and will probably be undergoing some therapy. So please keep Fred in your prayers. We say a special word of prayer for Jeff and Debbie Best. This week, it pleased our Lord to call Jeff's brother, Robert, home. Funeral services for Robert were last night. But Jeff and Renee are in church here this morning. So Jeff, we certainly pray for you this morning and know that God's presence and the peace is there in your heart as you rejoice in the new life that your brother has. But we do hold you in prayer this morning. For Barbara Guider, Barbara is down in Florida, but unfortunately has a very, very bad case of shingles right now. So please keep Barbara in your prayers. For Meg Coffid, that's Dave and Carolyn's daughter-in-law, Paige's mom. She is going to have, I believe they said, triple bypass surgery in the very, very near future. So please keep Meg in your prayers. For Judy, and that's Sue Hillman's sister, she's very sick as well and is now under hospice care in Cleveland. So, Sue, we keep you in our prayers this morning, as I'm sure your heart is extremely heavy. But we rejoice in God's presence with your sister now in these moments especially. Last but not least, let's say a special word of prayer for young woman, Helen. It's a friend of our Terrace View folks. She is 105 years old. 105 years old. I don't know what to think about that. But 105, and our folks on Thursday had the opportunity to celebrate and sing happy birthday to Helen at the celebration of 105 years. So we rejoice in the gift of life that is Helen's. Let's pray. It is good that we are here, O Lord, upon the holy mountain of your presence. Hear us as we pray for your church throughout the world, for each of us according to our needs, and for all people everywhere. Almighty God, on the Mount of Transfiguration, you revealed your Son to be the Holy One who kept the law you gave to Moses and fulfilled to Elijah and all the prophets the promise of a Savior. Grant to your church the grace to receive your Son with faith, to rejoice in the revelation of your saving glory in him, and to live by the light of his word and the food of his table all our days. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Almighty God, from age to age, you gave us glimpses of your glory until the fuller revelation of your Son. Grant to us pastors who will preach the whole counsel of your word and provide to us faithful pastoral care that we need. Bless us with church workers to teach our children and do the works of mercy that show forth your love to those in need. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Almighty God, all the might of man pales before the demonstration of your power. Bless, we pray, Donald, our president, the Congress of these United States, Andrew, our governor, all judges and magistrates. Give them wisdom to fulfill their responsibilities entrusted to them, that justice may prevail, life may be protected, virtue encouraged, and all people kept safe and secure against threat and violence. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Almighty God, give to all those in any affliction the comfort of your presence and grace for their every need. Give healing to the sick according to your will. Give comfort to those who mourn, and give peace to the dying. Especially do we pray this morning for Jason, for Fred, for Jeff and his family, for Barbara, for Meg, for Helen. And we pray for Judy, Sue, and Gary and their families. We pray for all of those who are printed in our worship bulletin, our friends, our family members, all of those who are in our hearts, that they may have strength, patience, and peace to bear up in the burdens of this life. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Almighty God, with many resources you have blessed us, but we pray you teach our hearts to know contentment and peace in all the blessings you have supplied. Make us generous that what we have received we may share with those in need and give to your church as the tithes and offerings of a grateful heart and a confident faith. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, until that day dawns and Christ the morning star arises with the light of the eternal day, keep us from being distracted by temptation or deceived by error. Guard the truth you have planted in our hearts, that when Christ comes in his glory, we may be found holy and blameless and enter into his presence with all the saints of old. Lord, in your mercy. All these things we pray, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, through whom you have made known to us the mystery of your saving glory. As he has fulfilled all the law and kept the promise of prophets, keep us from error, that we may honor your word and with obedient hearts and walk in his ways, doing all that is good and right and pleasing in your sight. In Christ, with Christ, and through Christ, be all glory, honor, worship, and praise to you, Holy Father, with the Holy Spirit evermore. Amen. And we pray together now as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. My friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our closing hymn is How Good, Lord, to Be Here, hymn number 89 in Lutheran Worship.
How good, Lord, to be here. Your glory fills the night. Your face and garments like the sun shine with unborrowed light. How good, Lord, to be here, your beauty to behold, where Moses and Elijah stand, your messengers of old. Fulfiller of the past and hope of things to be, we hail your body glorified and our redemption see. Before we taste of death, we see your kingdom come. We long to hold the vision bright and make this hill our home. How good, Lord, to be here, yet we may not remain. But since you bid us leave the mount, come with us to the plain.
Please have a seat for a moment. Good morning again. Good to be with you. Good to worship with you this morning. How good it is to be here. Thank God for Sunday every week. Right, Kim and Tony? Thank God for Sunday. I hear things are pretty busy for you guys over there. I've been social media again. The comments that have been coming across social media, just remarkable. For those of you who don't know, Kim and Tony opened up a brand new restaurant, Six Friends Cabernet. It's on Broadway. It's the old Dutch Mill. I hear the food is just fantastic. But busy days for you, for sure. For all of us sometimes, just busy days, and how good it is to be in this place, to just get away from it a little bit, to be strengthened and empowered for what's to come in the week ahead. So thanks for carving out that time to be in this place this morning. I don't have a whole lot in terms of announcements for you this morning, but we are now, officially moving into the Lent season. So Ash Wednesday is this coming Wednesday. We will once again have the imposition of ashes for those of you who prefer ashes. I thought in the elders' meeting we set it for 6:45, but it's listed at 7 o'clock in your bulletin, so we're going to keep it that way. 7 o'clock for the imposition of ashes. And then following that, at 7:30, we'll have our regular Ash Wednesday service, as we have done in the past with the baptismal remembrance and Holy Communion. So both of those are options for you this coming Wednesday. I do hope that you will be with us this Wednesday, though. We are going to move into a Lenten series as well. So for the next 5 weeks, we'll be following a series, a worship series and sermon series. So just to give you a little head. As members of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that's the place to be Tuesday the 3rd. Hey, I'm back up. I don't know why it does that. I have to talk to RJ about that. But anyway, so Tuesday, March 3rd, for anybody that might be interested. I sent out letters to whoever I thought or knew might be interested, but if you want to get on that list, let me know if you did not receive a letter. The only other thing, I guess, is a thank you. Thanks to everybody. Oh, yeah, thanks, Elena. Yes. And that was, I was going to do that at the start of the service. Thank you. So before I get into the thank you, I hope you remembered. If you didn't remember, we have new attendance cards in the pews. Please take a moment. If you have not filled one out for today, fill it out for us. That's how we're kind of tracking attendance now. So if you would, fill it out. You can just drop it right in the back. Normally, if I remember to remind you at the beginning, you can put it in the offering plate too. So again, if you have not filled it out, please fill it out. That goes for kids too. Make sure kids are included. Box is right in the back. You can see Barb is pointing to the box, and she's also holding up little prayer request cards. So this will be extremely helpful to me. If you have a prayer request for the week, or if you want something included in the prayer petitions for Sunday, when you come in, if you could write it down for me and just drop it in that box, and what I'll do is I'll check it before I go up to start service. What happens is sometimes on any given Sunday, Tom will tell me a prayer request, and then Tony will tell me a prayer request, and then I try to lock it in up here and I forget. So if you write it down for me, that will help me a lot, and then I can have those in front of me up at the altar. So again, those are just in the back, so just fill out the request for me, okay? All right, thanks, Elena. I completely forgot about that. Okay, last but not least is a big, big thank you to everybody who came out this past Friday for the spaghetti dinner. Lots of hands were involved in making it a success. It was by far, I think, the biggest that we've had. We had 160 spots down there that were filled. So it was a fun evening, I think. The kids were fantastic in serving. Real hard task. They didn't realize that we had numbered each of the tables. So that's why, if you remember on the order sheets, Elena was in the back, I'm looking at her, they did like 4-1-2, you know. They didn't realize that the tables were numbered, but they came up with their system to make sure that they coordinated everything effectively. So it was just a great evening. So thanks to everybody who helped out. Too many names to mention, but thanks to everyone who helped out, and thanks to you guys for coming out and enjoying the evening with us. Oh, of course. I'm tired. So anything else for the good of the group? Anything that I'm forgetting? And I think we got... Yeah, okay, so the altar, or I can't call it altar guild. Worship assistance breakfast is coming up on March 7th at 9 o'clock. So if you want to be a part of that, just make sure you get your name up on the bulletin board. All right? That gets us right to 9:30. We're in good shape, folks. Have a blessed week. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Hey, thanks. Yeah.